Thank you, Ruben Versalizer and all the of those that helped pull this together, organize, and notify. And I'm thankful to Akash Brock for the opportunity to be able to learn and teach Jerusalem Desha. There's sheets on the back table over there in the middle, an outline sheet. It's very different than yours beforehand. And a Gemara sheet. I'm going to give a couple words of introduction to the basic concept we'll be dealing with. Then, Be'ez Hashem, we're going to talk, I'll introduce what this sheet is doing. And then we'll talk Be'ez Hashem Halacha L'maisa. The theme of the shiur, according to the sign announcement that was put up, was Nisat Nisat Be'emunah. Gemara says, as everyone probably knows, in Gemara in Shabbos, Lamed Aleph says, when a person comes before the Bezin Shemal after 120 years, they ask him six questions. Those questions, a sheet's on the back page, on the back table there. Those questions start with Nasata Nasata Bemuna, where the person handled himself in his business in a honest, erlicha way, which we'll talk about Hashem, what that means. Kavati to Mutera, have a regularity of learning Torah. Asakta Piravirivya. Had a family, some explain also means helping other people, get married, and having families as well, Sakta. And it's a piece of Yeshua, and Mephal Pabachachma, Mevedavar Metekadavar. The first question that's asked in the Sata Nasata Bemuna means that we're going to have to answer to that question according to the standards used in that court of law. We have to know what exactly are the standards that the Bezin Shamala judges Erlichkeit, Emunah, by, and we'll be able to answer properly according to whether I... So I'll answer, I never stole, I never robbed. They would probably say, that wasn't exactly what we had in mind. So what did you have in mind? Well, did you learn something about it? And that's going to be the question we're going to know is, do we even know the guidelines? Like, you know, can't drive without reading, without having read the driver's manual. Kadosh Baruch gave us a driver's manual going through the world, which he gave it to us in the form of a Torah Shabbat, Torah Shabbat Peh, and we have it in the format of a Shas and Shulchan Aruch and Paiskim. And it's given for us to be able to read and know the guidelines. So that's what we have to know, what it means to be Nasata of Nasata Bemuna, doing business Erlich. It doesn't just mean not stealing and robbing in a very base and crude way, but even a more refined way. These include many, many instances of common occurrence, including situations of unfair competition, of improper pricing, of not keeping one's word when hiring, or when committing to sell or to buy, or to take a babysitter, or a playgroup, or any time when a person is making someone rely on them, and afterwards disappointing and pulling back and not living up to what I represented that I'm going to do or I'm accepting, is the questions that will come in here into Erlichkeit. We don't want to give a Musar Shmuz over here. We want to stay within the realm of Halacha as defined in Shulchan Aruch and Paiskim. And they give us very clear guidelines of what's considered to be Erlich Al Pi Halacha. Erlichkeit is a term that's a Yiddish term that doesn't really have a translation in English. I'm not sure if there is such a concept in English. As long as you don't go across the letter of the law, then you'll still consider to be in safe territory. What we want to, Be'ez Hashem, focus on in this series, Be'ez Hashem, is going to be the areas of Erlichkeit that aren't out-and-out Geneva kind of situations. The sheet that I gave out, if everyone has a copy of this sheet, on the one side of it, of Nasata Sata Bemuna, there are 18 things, which is what prompted and stimulated this whole shiur to start with. There was a time this winter that I was had a exclusive saying a shiur in Rabbi Berger Shul on these subjects. I just gave out a question sheet of what these 18 points mean that are in the first full column, and matching an unorganized manner to match them up with the concepts. And the basic concepts that anyone that wants to be Erlich has to be familiar with, because these are the standards that they used in the heavenly court, and Bezeshamala, and they might not be so familiar to everyone. And some people might be under the impression that, you know what, this is Chasidos, this is Luftim Rishus Adin, this is Chaim Madregas, this is for Tzadikim, and that's why it might not be so common practice. And this is straightforward Shulchan Aruch, every single one of these halachis based on Shas and Paiskim. This is not Luftim Rishus Adin and Chasidos says, except when the halach itself dictates that we have to go Luftim Rishus Adin. The flip side of this page, which we're not planning to deal with in the series, is 22 points of solid, actionable halacha that can be collected in Beis Din, almost all of them. That there's halachas in the Torah, almost all of them are derisas, and therefore they really all go under gezel of anoz dvarim, and anoz mamayin, and geneva's das, and gezelakum, and shcheinim, etc. The things that may list over here. Halva and Sphiras and Hashem was Aveda and Tava and Yerusha and Bimachus and Sira. This list of 22 items on the back are halachas gemurais, are mamash achiev, that almost all of them are collectible, and you mamash achiev the money, and you mamash achazel and deraisa, and those things on there. What we have on the first sheet, which is what Ben Hashem and what this series to be based on, is not that. It's not when you're actually stealing something that belongs to me. But when Chazal are going to be kaveya, that Ruach Chachamim will deem this to be inappropriate, this to be unethical, this to be immoral, this is something that a Yid should be living on a higher standard than that. That's what these concepts are about. And you see there's 18 of them. But each one have their own halachic definitions. What applies by one is a different set of halachic guidelines than applies by another, as Beis Hashem will see. And this is all what takes to become an Erlich Yid. I always say a little vort, I'm not sure, probably says it somewhere, that the name Yisrael itself, the first three letters spell Yashar. The Yashrus of Kel is what Yisrael has, and to be a Yid, you have to be a Ish Yashar. Bori used to say, Kosher Yeh and Yashar Nisht, right? Glad Kosher Yeh and glad Yashar Nisht, right? You have to be a Yashar to be a Yisrael, because that's what Yisrael really is. And I say it as maybe it's a shtickle drushy on the title of Yisrael. Well, the Navi says it, which the Gemara brings over here in on that sheet, in Bamitzia, a pasuk in Raji brings it, a pasuk in the Navi, that Sheriz Yisrael in Tzfanyan, Treyasar, Sheriz Yisrael liyasu avlo liyichazu edabro chazov liyimsu b'fiyam tarmis, that the Sheriz Yisrael in the end of those who are going to survive the Golos and be there in Yimoz Mashiach, is going to be Sheriz Yisrael, is going to be this kind of people. Who's going to remain? Lo yasu av lo yidar b'chazav, lo yimzu tarmas b'fiyam. People that are not going to be dishonest are going to be the people that are going to be the Yimoz Mashiach. And there's a well-known smag, the smag, the Sefer Bitzvos Gadol from the Bali Tosfos. The smag says that he went around in his days and darshant in the different Goliasin of Edom and Svarad, by the Ashkenazim, by the Svaradim. He went around the Jewish world at that time and darshant them. There's drasha to say that, you know, the Golias is going along in his days, 600 years ago, so long, maybe too long, we would think. And one of these days, Mashiach is going to come. We're going to have a gula. What's it going to say in the editorials of the newspapers? What are the goyim going to say, their reaction to the gula? He says, whether the gula is going to be a kiddush Hashem or chas v'shalom, the opposite, is up to how we act right now. Whether we're religious in a beilun l'makom, they're not going to have any kind of impression about. But they're going to be able to say, you know, those Jews, they were taka honest people. They were people of their word. Their word was gold. You could count on them. They're taka erlecha mention. They deserve the gula. Right, and now that Kadosh Baruch Hu took them all back, you see, they taka deserve it. They taka are a holy people. That's if right now during Gola's days we're acting erlich. So the smak. But what happens if right now we're out Jewing them? As there's unfortunately a word in the Oxford that says that what the definition of what that means to out Jew someone is to outsmart them and sly them and con them out of something. If that's what Jewing a person is, Rahman Islam, then what they're going to say? Yomro. Kadosh Baruch Hu shebachar lechelka ganav of Ramayim. Kadosh Baruch Hu took a bunch of bandits to be his people. Nebuchadnezzar, Kadosh Baruch Hu had such a people like that. It won't be a grace of Kiddush Hashem. So therefore, the Navi Tzvanya says, Sheris Yisrael, I'm not going to let that happen. Lo yasu avla, lo yidabru chazav, lo yim tarmas b'fiyam means I'm going to make sure the people are going to survive this galus, which we don't know, Be'ez Hashem, everyone should hear, should be alive and well, and we should have the gulim v'hir v'meinu, are those people that are going to be erlecha people. Those that are not, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to weed them out. They're not going to be there. So we all want to be for the B'nei HaGa'ula. We need to make sure that we're erlecha, I mentioned. And before we get into the lacha of this, I want to say one more makshava, which to me is an important makshava, which I actually spoke out, I think, in that Rabbi Berger share. And that is that there's a double understanding of all the halachas we're going to be learning. Rambam brings a halacha about Geneva's Das, which we'll talk about another time in its details. It's also Lignov Das, the Briyas of Fila Das, Abu Gechavim. You're not allowed to mislead and make him think that you're doing something for him when you're not. A Geneva's Das, we'll talk about what's the difference between that and all this moment, Be'ez Hashem, it's another day shir, Be'ez Hashem. But Geneva's Das, the Rambam says, is Aser, to mislead and have him think something which isn't so. He brings that down in Hilchos Bekel Chamemkar, which he calls Hilchos Mechira in Sefer Kinyan, out of his 14th Sfarim. He brings the same halacha down also in the second parak of Hilchos Deis in Sefer Mada in the beginning of the Yad. Rambam doesn't usually repeat himself the same halacha in different places. He's very super organized, and each halacha has its place. If everything would be doubled and tripled, Rambam would be that much more voluminous. So why does Rambam bring the exact same halacha in Hilchos Mechira and in Hilchos Mechel Chamemkar and Hilchos Deis is because it's in Hilchos Mechira beginning of Perek Yedches and Hilchos Deis Perek Beis Alach above. The reason it is, I understand, is because there's a two-sided sword over here that when you deal with these issues. One is because any of these things that a person does improperly cause a loss to another person. And that damage or that loss monetarily to another person is called an abizrayo de gezel. It's a peripheral isser of something to do with gezel, which may be not actual gezel, but it's causing someone else. It's causing another person a loss. That's one issue, what you're doing affecting the other person. But Hillel's Day is what I'm saying, besides that, you're also affecting yourself. In your own self-development, you have to make yourself into an erlech yid for yourself. You want to be davak in a kadosh baruch, kadosh baruch is chosmin el shem lakim emes. Kadosh Baruch Hu is emes, his chaisim is emes, the Olam Haba is called the Olam Emes. You want to be a ben Olam Haba, you have to be a nish emes. That's not a question of damaging someone else. That's damaging your own self. Our own self-development requires erlochait, not only because of my responsibility to my friend, but also because of my own assignment to develop my own self and make myself to be daimeh, to halakta b'drachu, to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, I have to be emes, like a Kadosh Baruch Hu's emes. And that's something that I think lies between the lines of all the things that we're going to be speaking about. One is, I have to do it because I promised it to you. And second of all, I have to do it because I said it, and I'm going to keep my word, because I'm an Erlech Mensch. I'm an Ish Emes. I'm a person, my word is a word, and what I say is true. That's the Dvar Musar of it. I don't want to spend a lot of my time on Musar over here, because I don't want this to become said, oh, it's a Musar Shir. It's a Halacha Shir. The halacha shir over here is to know that each of these halachas are just that. They have very, very clear definitions, and we're going to try, Be'ez Hashem, to become more familiar with them. On the first side of the sheet, which is the basis of our series, Be'ez Hashem, I took those 18 concepts that we put beforehand in that matching game that we played over there in Rabbi Berger's, and as you see, I divided them over here into 5 categories. And that gives us a little bit more of a handle to put them into more bite-sized pieces to be able to digest. There were 60 sheets out there. I don't know if there's other people. I do have more. We can hand them out from here. Betsy, why don't you take it to the back? And just to quickly run them through over here, the first two I labeled, these are my own labels, take them or leave them. Chaser, Neman, is a lacking in being trustworthy, being Neman, and standing up to what you said. And that has two halachic categories to them. One's called Mechusar Amana, which is a classic case of that as a Matana Moet. That's where Lord Bez Hashem momentarily start learning the actual halachas of that. By a relatively small kind of a commitment, or the difference between X and Y, if it's a small kind of a difference, then a person would be lacking in his nemanus, lacking in his trustworthiness and faithfulness to back down and not to keep his word. Hein shelchad tzedek, the Gemara says, hin tzedek yelecha, eifa tzedek, the number of measurements at the end of Parshat Kisei, say the Torah says, you have to keep your weights and measures to be yerlech. Now, it's a little bit too numerous of items that are listed over there for the Gemara Darshans. What's the point of each one being mentioned? And on hen tzedek, a hen literally is a liquid measure. The Gemara Darshan as a hin and a lav is a yes and a no. When you say yes, it should be a yes. When you say a no, it should be a no. You should keep your word. When you say something, you're going to do something, then do it. When you say you're not going to do something, then not do it. Without getting into Ndarim, without getting into Shuais, as far as a commitment to another person, that's called a hen tzedek. There's two aspects of what a hen tzedek is. One is that if you say you're going to do something, you're going to give something to someone, one of the aspects of it that Rashi quotes in Ksuvos Daf Pei Vav is Priyas Bal Chov. The Gemara says the mitzvah of Priyas Bal Chov is a mitzvah that we could even be kaifa, we could forcefully compel a person to pay money that he owes. Even if it's an unsecured loan, you can't go down and make a collection action from his property, but you could take him and force him physically that he has to make a payment. That's because there's a mitzvah. We could be kaifa a person to do a mitzvah, to put on lulav, to put on tefillin, to take a lulav to sit in a sukkah. Why could we be kaifa a person to be parei achayv? So Rashi says, because hen shechol tzedek. You said you're going to pay. He holds that to be a mitzvah say, that we're kaifa on it. As a shem of the sugya, right now we're going to get into a daf mem tes. If we get to it today, yeah, we'll see whether that's a real drayza dig a mitzvah. So that's, you said something you're going to do, you gave me your word, do it. Second part of that is, the Gemara says, that it shouldn't be echa b'peh v'echa b'leiv. That what you say is what you mean, and what you mean is what you say. You should be teichel gebaro, inside and outside, be a true representation. Rather than acting in a bad faith and leading me on to something which you never really intended to ever carry me through when you're leading me on for whatever agenda that you might have. So echa b'peh v'echa b'leiv, when you're saying one thing but you're thinking a different thing, you're planning not to do that which you said from the very beginning, right, is a wrongness in and of itself. When we could establish in Bezdin that an action was done with full good intent, but it didn't work, is one thing. When we find out that it was done in bad faith, that you never meant it from the beginning and you were misleading it from the beginning, that's a wrongdoing that has to be rectified in a different kind of a way. Echa b'pev echalei both comes from the hein shechol tzedek, which both goes into this the category that I labeled nemanus, being able to be trusted and taken for your word. The second two is our situation when a person is chayte, if he chops something and takes something from someone else. Now, this case of actual geneva and gzela requires that the person owns something. It belongs now to Reuven, and Shimon takes away from me, he's a ganav or a gazlan, depending on the manner in which he steals or robs it from him. That's only if Reuven already has established ownership over it. If he hasn't yet established ownership, if he hasn't first already made a proper acquisition to make it his, halachically, which there's rules of kinyanim how those things work, then it's not a gzela. So if you're considering taking and you almost have it, and before you actually get it, I go and rip it out and catch it before you, I'm not a ganav, I'm not a gazlan in a ikra hadin, dreistika, and often not even on a real sense of what a gazlan is or ganav is. But still, the Gemara uses these two terms in two different instances of a person in that case is either nikra rasha or nikra rabbi. The rabbi case is by a shliach. I sent you, I know something specific that I want to go and buy. So there's one left over there, and it's really something that I want. Here's money, go get it for me. And you go over there and say, oh, it's so good. Oh, you know what, I'll buy it for myself. And you say, sorry, I got it for myself, is it over here? I said, what do you do over here? I sent it to you, I gave you the money, you led me on to believe that you're going to do it. If you would have told me no from the beginning, I would have gone there myself. So now you led me on to think that you're going to take it care from me, and then you went, you hopped it for yourself. It comes up in Shidduchim also, which is an application of many of these halachis. The second one, that's called, if a person does that, when he's coming for himself, he's nikra ramai. Did he actually steal? Didn't belong to the other person. The guy that sent it, but didn't yet acquire it, didn't belong to him, so I'm not gone when I took it for you. The guy in the store sold to me, I paid him full value of my own money. I did steal your money, here's your money back. but you're a Rami. You're deceitful. You led me on to believe that I could trust you, and you double you shot me in my back. You know, double crossed me. Double crosser is called a Nikra Rami. Next one. Ani Mahabe Bechorara is Nikra Rasha. More has different terms for it, and there are different halakhas on each of these cases. The first one is Nikra Ramai because it's deceitful, but there's no aspect of Gezel in it. You haven't been kaited. Kiyuzeh. It's not even in your hands yet. You would like to get it. No. Ani Mahabe Bechorara is the next case. Ani Mahabe Bechorara is the next case. The first person already has something that he's looking at. He hasn't actually picked it up to be kaited yet. But it's in his hand to get it. If he wants it, it's there for his taking. He's still thinking about it. He has to call his wife if she wants it or not. He has to figure it out. But it's, he could have almost have it. So he hasn't actually acquired it. Is there a genuine gezlus not? If someone else now comes along and chavs and takes away from him, then he's nikra rasha, which is more than a rami, because that's considered to be like gezl mirabanan. That's kimat that he was kainet. The first one was not kimat klal kainet. So that's why there's no rishis in the first case. It's a rami. It's a deceitfulness. It's a dishonesty. Tell me you're not going to do it, then fine. Tell me you are going to do it and then double-cross me, that's Ramos. The second case of Ani Mahabe Bechorara. Now, Ani Mahabe Bechorara, you might think, is a distant kind of a situation. It's remote. One Ani is going around looking at the garbage can to see if there's any bread left over from last night's Shavuot Brachos. And I go there, I have another piece of the leftover schnitzel because of before him. Okay, now there are people that are in that situation. But there's a job up right now for grabs. And you're already negotiated, you're disgusted with it, you're almost ready to sign a contract. And I go over there right now and I get myself or someone else there instead, my son-in-law. Or there's a house for sale, right? And they've already come to terms, he's going to sell it for whatever, $175, right? And they're ready to sign it, and I go, I'll give you $180, right? So at a certain point, stand off. The other person's already on the Mahabab Harara. He's going to hire, or he's going to be hired, or he's going to buy, or he's going to sell. At a certain point, when they're far apart and they're just open still for anyone, then it's still an open market. But at a point when already they have basically the terms agreed to, and then without any interference, this is a done deal, even though it's not a done deal. It's not signed and sealed in a binding way. But there's a point at which it becomes only Mahabha Karara. The Bala Bus might still be able to seek someone else. But if he's already satisfied with his buyer, I'm going to go now and up the offer and therefore take away the house from the buyer who's got to buy it. That's Ani Mahabe Bechorara. That's a very common case. So we're no longer talking about hopping a schnitzel from the garbage can. Naftali?
Is this applied for Pesach, the cleaning lady?
Okay. So I have the cleaning lady over here, Maria, that's going to come to my house. And I said, can you come to next Tuesday? She says, yeah. And then you call her up and say, I'll pay you an extra $1 per hour, and you take her away from me. That could be another application. There's going to be numerous applications for these, and we'll, at more leisure, at a slower pace, try to discuss all these kinds of things, just like when you learn Lamedes Melaches, that seem to be talking about somewhat archaic situations, or about the Shorshanoch HaZapara, or Arbav HaZikim. They seem to be... But then you take them and you apply them into modern technology, and nowadays keeping Shabbos in the kitchen or car accidents are the same thing as a person with a Kadar and a Kaira bumping into each other. We take the principles of what there are in the halacha, and you find that they're very real and they're very relevant in contemporary situations as well.
Why is the Gemara call this Ani Hamahakeh? If the richest person in town is about to do the deal,
the Gemara's case is that you're taking a look at it. He's looking at it at a dry crust of bread, which usually a religious person in town is not interested in. We could take it and apply it to buying the house for $175 or buying the biggest, I don't know, Google billion-dollar acquisition, which the audience not probably not going to be doing. So we could take the principle and apply it. But the case that's given is the Bala Bais is inside, the audience outside, you put it outside, you put it inside. That's where the Gemara starts in basics, and then from there you'll have to extrapolate. The third category are those things that are upped a point beyond that midrabbanan are considered to be gezel, even though midraisa on a real, true, technical, legal, halachic basis aren't gezel. But midrabbanan were going to consider them to be like gezel. One is nena migias chavero, one is yerid umnus chavere. Each one has a little bit different guidelines. And this has got to do with proper competition as well as intellectual property and copyrights. There's a lot to talk about over there. Lots of relevant halachis. But if we don't even know what paskus l'chiyusi means, and yor l'umus chaveru, we haven't even talked about the basic sugya about the fisherman that took away the fish from the other guy's net, then we don't even have a basis of starting the discussion about when it's fair to compete and when you go and give a different bid or get that agent or whatever to open up a store or to come in from out of town and open up a mall and all these kind of situations. Nenem yigiyas chaveru means when you take advantage of someone else's labor that he's invested. The classic case in the Mishnah in Gittin, end of the fifth parak, is got to do with Ani Menachem Rosh HaZayas, which means that a olive tree is not like a apple tree, and you don't go up and pick apple or peach by fruit by one. A olive tree is full of hundreds and little tiny things. So when you have to go and you have to shake the tree and they all come down. Now you can't shake it from the bottom because it has a wide base. If you ever see an olive tree, made of olive wood, it's beautiful, right? Well, what you do is you climb up in a tree where the branches are small and you shake and shake and shake and all the olives come tumbling down. What you do in beforehand is you put out a blanket on the on a tarp or a sheet on the bottom on the ground, and all those things come falling down. So while you're up there shaking away, I come there and I clean it all up, right? So that's Ani Menachem Rosh HaZayas. You're doing the hard labor, and I want to come and reap the benefits and chop your hard work. That is a direct application to situations of intellectual property pirating, whether a program that you designed or whether a recording that you developed and that you made of music or of a shir or whatever it might be of a valuable item. So then I did all the work. I prepared that. I made it valuable. It sells for whatever, $12 a recording of it. And then you go just by pirate and make another 500 copies and just put them out over there for half price. Right, so you want to now take advantage and do business and take the profit margin away from my hard work.
Does that also have to do with proposals?
With what?
With proposals. If someone is proposing to do something, say roof, if they're proposing to do a roof in a certain way and so on and so forth, and they give that proposal to another person to beat the price by a certain percentage point? They did all the hard work.
Why are they giving it away to their friend?
So they get a cheaper price.
But that's their choice that they want to give it away to someone else.
They're giving the proposal that company A,
the customer
is giving the proposal to company B. The company A worked hard. They made selections. They made prices. They discussed how to do it.
Okay.
They gave their suggestions.
Okay. We're going to have to discuss. That's not always going to be prohibited, but that's a very good case for us to discuss. Okay. Well, we'll have to come back to that, Brother Shem. Right now, I'm not trying to deal with any of this any kind of fair treatment. I just want to introduce the concepts that we know where we're going and what we're talking about. I believe all these things Chazal felt them themselves are not nasata nasata b'muna. They themselves are she'eriz yisrael liyasu avla. This itself is an avla. These cases, rather than the cases before them, are up to the level of being gezel midivrehem and could even be required to return. As opposed to the previous part of the case, at Ani Mahab Harora, you're a Rasha. You're not allowed to do that. We're going to stop you from doing it. You have to cease and desist. But you're not going to have to give back that which you already got because he never had it anyway. In these kind of cases, we're even going to say, you give those olives back to the first guy that shook them off. Right? So this is going to be a higher level than beforehand. In Rabbanah, we're going to consider that to be like a gezel. I guess ultimately, every Rabbanan is a siyag to a deraisa. That's Rasiza Mishmeres and Mishmartik. That's the Rabbanan's obligation to do. But it's also a piyaterash yerucha. The Teresh gives mitzvahs that to be defined by the Chachamim. Rabbeinu Yonah says at the beginning of Pirkei Avos, the very, very first paragraph of Perush Rabbeinu Yonah on Pirkei Avos, that Torah, Moshe Kibbutz Torah, Mesina, Masor, Yeshua, Yeshua, Zakenim, says, why do we need to have Mesiris or Torah for all that Torah Shabbat Pab? Take out a Chumash. So he says, because you take out the Chumash, it says, Lo Sigzol. How do I know what Lo Sigzol means? So if I go and I pick your pocket or I burglarize your house, of course we understand Lo Sigzol. But what are the parameters? How far does Lo Sigzol go? So, Dr. Rabbeinu Yonah, whatever you find in Sefer Nezikin, in Seder Nezikin, Bava Kamba, a Metziah Babasra that's Asr do, that's Lo Sigzol. So he says that's Avla Kulam, and everything else is Toldais. It all goes under Lo Sigzol. So I'm not positive, is this also Lo Sigzol, Midaraisa, only a Sigzol Midaraisa, or Midarabana, we talk a field that they're talking element of a Getzel. I don't know. The next seven, which I put into a group of their own, are obligations that Chazal deemed appropriate, als yashrus, to do it is the erlech hazach to do, not isurim, but mitam yashrus, grama bezikin, which in hilchos zikin we have to talk about where's the limit of liability for damages inflicted on another person or another on his property when something goes beyond that limit and you're not chayiv on it, but it's still a grama, you still did cause another person to have a loss. You're patur b'dayanam chayiv de shemayim. Chayiv de shemayim means that halachically speaking, in a bezdin kind of a sense, we can't say he's chayiv. But we still feel that dinei shemayim, we're talking again about what's going to be the standard in the bezdin shemala. Bezdin shemala is going to say that you did something wrong over here and you've got to make it right. That's dinei shemayim. That's going to now say, not that you're not allowed to do it. Well, of course you're not allowed to do it. The question is, are you going to be responsible to pay for it? As Yashrus, you should come forward and say, even though I don't have to, I want to pay you anyway, because I don't want you to have a loss because of me. There's a Chayav Misha Parah Bayechoz L'Achamat Mos. We'll have to learn in Hilchos Kiyonim separately. The Lach was about what constitutes a Kinyan, but for right now, it suffices to say that for movable items, to buy a safer, you have to take it and pick it up. You make a Hagbar or a Mashicha, different ways of making Kinyan with actually taking physical possession of it, or put it into your Chatzar, into your Yad. But short of that, just paying cash for it, that works by Karka, that works by Kedusha Isha, works by an Eved, doesn't work by Metaltalin. Most are not Kainais, Machlugs or Bielk, Rishlogin, Rice or Butter, whatever it is without getting into Sugya. Most are not Kainais. But Afa Pia, until I actually take it and pick it up, physically take possession of it, it's not mine yet. If I pay you in advance for something, and you're supposed to deliver it to me, which by the way, nowadays is tremendously, maybe even overwhelmingly, the majority of businesses don't like that. I order something online or by a phone order or by a catalog order, and I already pay with my credit card in advance, and I get it 3 days later. Right? So first, I've already made payment through Visa paying for me. They're laying out money for me. It's like an arbus. So now Visa has paid now the merchant, and then he ships it out until he gets his money. He doesn't ship. Right? So I made a kinyan by payment. That's not binding. But Afa Pikin, if he calls somebody up and says, I don't want to deliver. I'm going to return your cash to you, right? Why? Because he got someone else to be able to buy it at a more expensive price. I already paid it for you. Put it on eBay. I don't know, however you sell it, right? So we can talk about eBay in the other discussions. Once you've made a payment for something, so I'm just showing you that it's a very relevant situation that it happens constantly. When you make a payment for something in advance before taking physical possession, you haven't been paying it. But if the merchant now backs out and says, "I'm not selling it to you. Someone offered me something more." Or because I want to keep it for myself. Sorry, you already sold it. That's what a deal is. That's what a sale is. You have to make a decision to think it over before you. Once you sell it, then you should back out. If you do, there's a Misha Parah. We say that the one that took retribution from the Dor HaFlaga and for the Dor HaMabul and so from other people like that in the course of history will take also for a person She'enu Omed B'diburo. A person doesn't stand behind his word. You're not standing behind your word. You're right. It's halachically not a legal binding action. But even so, your word's not a word. There's an expectation that a word should be a word.
Does that apply only to Yidden or to Goyim also?
Very important question. We're going to have to answer that almost by every single one of these 18. This is the answer over here to this is going to be yes. You have to keep your word by Yid, by Goyim.
Even if you say the word, they don't give
the money. Correct. Then we have to go all the way back to the first item of Mechusar Amana. And we have to make the guideline there when just a word itself with no payment is going to be binding. And that's only if it's marginal, not major, not if there's a change of situation. That position we have to target defined. So what's going to go into Mechusar Amana is when there's no kinyan whatsoever. What's going to go into Misha Parah by Chayzer after Matmos is when there's a beginning of a kinyan through payment, but not a complete final binding payment.
How would it work with a program or software?
Okay, what's the question?
Is it
It's certainly not karka. It's not even metaltalin. It's intellectual property. It's binenem yigiyas chaveray. I don't actually take your object, right? It's the concept. It's the idea, right? So with that which is the your innovation of how to, I don't know, build a better broomstick, So I'm going to now build a better broomstick instead of you. I haven't taken away your broomstick. Or likewise, your program how to make this, you know, operate quicker and better. I'm going to take your same idea. The idea is not tangible. It's not neither karka nor matatala. But I'm now trying to reap the benefits of your hard work, your skill, your talent, your knowledge, right, and not pay you for it and get the profit from that instead of you. That goes back to the Nenazim Yisvera and Yorud Umnus Kaveira, we didn't speak about enough, which is taking away a person's business, unfair competition, when he has the right to that market, that goes in the copyright discussion. All these things are just outlined Rashi Prakim. There's too much to discuss right now, but I'm just right now making an introduction. Some of my friends over here that I want you all to get to know. L'fnim Mishur HaSadin. Now normally this is a strange thing. L'fnim Mishur HaSadin means it's almost an oxymoron. It's a tarta d'sasri. You are required up halacha to do that which you're not required up halacha to do because that halacha is after you do l'fnim Mishur HaSadin and that now becomes the din. That's what it means. The din in certain cases require that you have to do that which is l'fnim Mishur HaSadin. The Mishur HaSadin means, you're not mechayev to, and we're mechayev to do that which you're not mechayev to do. And Chachal and Chachamim have the right to do that. For instance, a classic case is that if you find that a Metziah, an Aveda, a lost object, after you could be sure that there was a Yiyush, the owner already gave up on it and said, forget about it, I'm never getting back, I would write it off as a loss. So after a state of Yiyush, then you come and find it, even though it has his name all over it, it has Simonim, and you know exactly who it belonged to, his wallet. You can take it, put it in your pocket. You can't use his credit card and start stealing something, but the money in there, it's yours. That's the halacha mitaraisa. After yiyush mitaraisa mitarabanan, after yiyush bailam, there's no more chiyuv shamas aveda. It's like hefker. But even so, there's a din the Gemara says in Eilat Metziyos that lefnim mishuras adin, you're mechuyev to return it. So you're not mechuyev to, but mitarabanan, I guess it's mitarabanan. You're mechuyev to do that, which you're not mechuyev mitaraisa. There was a whole instance of a story that the post can talk about with a shipwreck where hopefully the people saved. I don't know this story, that part. But their property was jettisoned and washed ashore and you were downstream, downriver. Later on, a week later, 2 weeks later, everything washed ashore. So now I found, oh, look at this, all the different properties. When they were shipwrecked, they all were totally miyayish. They just wanted to be able to survive themselves and get home alive. Everything would otherwise was assumed was going to sink in the deep ocean. So that is a zutol shayam she'en kamo. It's mamash a case of yush, and therefore everything should be hefker. Ava pikein when the stuff washed up onto the shore. Ramal brings it down in Shulchan Aruch. He required everyone to go and return it to whatever you could identify as it belonged to people to return it. Because l'fnim rishus adin you're mechuyev to return things even after yush too. And there, by the way, it deals with goyim also. Whenever we're going to have to come back to that over here. Yes, except when you're making Kiddush Hashem, we'll have to talk about that. On the back side of the sheet, the halachas that I'm not going to speak about are all the rest of these halachas, like all the whole parsha of Hashavah Zaveda for Yidin, for Goyim. There's many dinim with that. But those are my mitzvahs deraisas and chiyuvim of Hashavah Zaveda. This is where the mitzvah does not apply. That's when the front of the sheet applies, but still, there's such a concept of erlachkeit, of l'fnim rishus adin. When does that apply? When does it not? When you're kaif, etc., will be the adin. Basisa tova hayashar. The Torah commands three places in Sefer Dvarim that we have to do tova hayashar. Hayashar v'hatoy v'enei Hashem v'adam. We have to do things that are the right thing to do. That goes beyond tarayag mitzvahs. You have to do it because it's the right thing to do. Atov Yashar. So Chazal, of course, have to write the guideline for that. One of the instances is, if you're selling your house, and you can have an equal offer from a neighbor next door or from someone from the other side of town. If he buys another house anywhere, it'll be the same. But the neighbor, there's no other place that's going to be like two houses adjacent to each other that's going to make his usage of the house but that much more valuable. So a bar mitzvah, a person that's a next door adjoining neighbor, has the first right to get it, not because he owns anything, he doesn't have any rights in my house, but it's the tov hayasher, it's the right thing to do. That's a sensitivity that Chazal want us to have, to recognize it's only right to do this, and it's not, you'll go somewhere else, he can't go somewhere else. Hanhagas Talmud Chacham, I hope everyone here aspires, in each in their own way, to be a Talmud Chacham. Talmud Chacham doesn't have to be a Gadol HaDor or Rosh Hashiva. Each one of us has to establish a familiarity and understanding of the concepts of Halacha, of the Torah Shebaal Peh. Well, a Talmud Chacham has to act a certain higher type of way. The Rambam has Perek Beis, he describes how we all have to act. And Perek Hei in Hilchos Deos, he dedicates a whole Perek to the higher code of conduct of a Talmud Chacham. And there he deals specifically with his business dealings, have to be a Talmud Chacham in business, not just an ordinary Erlach Yid, and certainly not someone less than that. There's a Hanhag of a Talmud Chacham, Einu Mishana B'Diburo, etc. This is an amazing thing the Gemara says. I hired a worker to transport something. He was a klutz, he dropped it and he broke it. Right? So he should really have to pay me. I'm not going to pay him for his day's work. He didn't do anything good for me. So they came back, I think it was to Rav, the Gemara end of a pilot in Bamatzia, and he wanted them to pay him. And he said, listen, these guys are poor. They try their best and they slipped over here. Don't make them pay for it. He says, okay, they don't have to pay for it. And then Rav says, but then now you pay them for the day's work. and the other man number said, pay them their everybody work. They did what work they do for me. So he said, do it anyway. He said, Dina Hachi, is that the din? So he said, yeah, Dina Hachi. Why? Because you should go in a good way. That becomes Dina Hachi, that you had to now go and pay him, even though he didn't do anything good for you. How many times do employees sometimes mess up on a job without dropping something? It could be programming, right? Sometimes you mess up, right? Maybe not you, of course. But whoever it is. You know, anyone in any kind of job could sometimes mess up. And off of peaking, he gets a day's work, a day's pay. Not gross negligence. But, you know, in the course of human events, so where did we err?
Could you explain grammatically what's going on here?
B'derech Tovim, you should go in the ways of good people. You should go B'derech Tovim, in the ways of Tovim, of good people.
B'derech is singular.
Right.
Not Drachim Tovim.
Right. Not Drachim Tovim. In the way, in the highway in which many good people go, in the path of the just, path of the good people. Go in that path also. Now, the bottom, I'm going to have to do this very quickly. We're going to talk about the B'derech. Next time is going to be a shir on Mechus Ramon. I'm not going to give this whole long speech. Is going to be focused. The last thing is a list of things. I call them Maisim Royim. It's a little toned down. It should be Maisei Resha. When a person is Abba Riv Lo Lo, he gets involved in something that's mixing up someone else's business. Stick out of here. That's Tovus Bachov. A Rasha Aram, a clever Rasha, he gives a guy another Eitzah. You could maneuver like this. Luckily, it's Mutter, and thereby cause another personal loss. No, butt out. Why are you helping him and hurting him? No, this guy's expecting something, which he's allowed to get. No, don't mess him up. Orachai Dayanim is along those same lines. Is that you teach one person involved in a conflict, a dispute, how to maneuver and wiggle his way to be able to win, or to be able to claim something and make a legal maneuver to be able to overcome. Let him go along his own path and don't try to mess up. However, interestingly, if you're being paid to be his eruv, then you're allowed to. You're not allowed to purposely lie. We'll have to talk with lachas and lawyers another time. Chilul Hashem has a specific halachic application. Is that even though you're not mechuyav to make a prius b'chov to a goy, but when he's going to know that you're not paying him, then it's a chilul Hashem. And likewise, if he knows that you're not returning a lost object to him, it's a chilul Hashem. And we could talk about the chilul Hashem and many other cases that people unfortunately trip up to do, especially to deal with governments and taking things that they're not entitled to. And last one, halacha is an emotional issue. Meirim Yabba Teres Moshe, the Shulchan Aruch uses terms that doesn't use anywhere else, that it's bombers in front to the entirety of Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu, is like a kaifer in the whole Torah, is a person that goes to Erkol Shanachram to Goyish Accord instead of Dine Torah, because that shows we're bottom line, our religious, our allegiance and our trust and our belief is, and that's a red line of demarcation between those that are committed to Torah and those that are not. Okay, this is an overview. I'm sorry we didn't really actually talk halacha tonight. But then next time we're going to be talking about the halacha of Mechus Ramana and try to go the sugya of Baba Tzia, Dapam Desmond Aleph. We'll take it from there, Bez Hashem. Thank you, everyone, for coming. I'm not good with these machines. If someone knows how to turn them off, I'd appreciate it.
That was beautiful.
Nice to see you.